place. Joy, come in. Have some coffee, sis?
I can't stay. My, this is an attractive office. I should think hordes of people will be coming in.
They come in.
They go out. They don't buy houses. Sometimes I think I'd like to get out of the rut of house and children and do something on my own.
You would, Joy?
But I guess I'm just a homemaker at heart, and that's not very fashionable now. My children and my husband come first with me, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh, you should be proud of it.
I wonder why it isn't what you want, Kate.
It might be, if I had it.
Nancy announced last night that when you go into work in the city, she's going with you.
Well, I haven't got a job yet. I just have an appointment for an interview.
Tony Cushing arranged it for you?
Yes.
Then you'll get the job with a man like that behind you.
A man like what?
Well, I met him, you know. He's very attractive, sure of himself, and everything is done with pool these days.
I don't think I like that, Joy. Besides, it isn't true.
Well, find out for yourself. But I've got to think of Nancy.
What I do has nothing to do with Nancy.
I wish it hadn't. But she's latched onto the idea. If you go to the city, it's all right for her. College, everything is out the window.
You're making a lot of assumptions, Joy. First of all, I may not take this job in the city. And if I do, it has nothing to do with you or Nancy.
Kate.
I won't be Nancy's babysitter. Whatever Nancy may want to do or how you feel about it has no bearing on my decision.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Glad I got you, Al. You remember that little talk we had at the Bensons? About Kate. Mrs. Catherine Wakefield. From Belhaven. Well, I told her you'd see her tomorrow at 3, okay? Oh, come on. Don't make me say it again. Sure, I wanted to have the job, but you're not doing me all that big a favor. This girl's got a lot going. All she needs is a break. Have it your way, Al. She'll be at your office at 3. Yes, Gloria. Holly Benson. Oh, no. All right, you better send her in. If I don't see her now, she'll ruin my day. Hold the calls for 5 minutes.
Tony, darling!
Hello, my sweet.
Then you are glad to see me.
I'm no different from any other virile American male.
Oh, am I interrupting some frightfully important worldwide business deal?
You're the girl who could.
Oh, no chance for lunch, I suppose.
Not one, sweetheart. I'm waiting for a conference with the boss. That's yogurt on the desk.
Then I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm really very annoyed with you.
Oh, what have I done now?
Nothing. That's the trouble. Absolutely nothing. You're the most attractive, available man I know, and for the last 2 weekends you've stood me up.
I was busy.
I know. You were seen dining at the Bell and Bottle.
Excellent restaurant.
My spy reports that the girl you were with was very attractive, in a sort of fresh air way.
She is.
Are you seeing Claire this weekend?
No.
Then why not bring the new girl up? We're having a rather mixed crowd. She might find it amusing.
I'm not so sure.
Oh? Are we being a little protective?
We are.
Well, come without her, Tony. I need you. And then Nick can do his drinking in peace.
While I tend bar.
I like a man who doesn't drink. He gives him a certain air of individuality.
Oh, my God, Holly. Look, I'm really busy.
Oh, I could take a hint.
Nice seeing you, Holly.
Tony, I am not letting you off the hook. Goodbye, darling. Until the weekend.
Bye, Holly. Gloria, will you... Mrs. Wakefield called. Well, get her back as soon as you can, will you?
Okay, Mom. Brought the car back.
Over to you.
I don't need it now.
You said three.
I said two.
Oh.
Doesn't matter. I've got 6 blueberry pies made. 4 for the cake sale, 2 for the freezer.
How do you stand it, Mom?
Stand what?
This. Kitchen, cooking, kids, house, all day, every day.
I missed the lecture on Chinese art at the library. I didn't have a car.
I'm sorry, honestly. But, Mom, this is a rut.
Okay. Suppose I take off my apron and you get the dinner, dear. Somebody's got to.
Well, this ought to be a better way.
You find it, you let me know.
But is this what you got married for?
I got married for love. And if part of it is hard work,
well, what isn't hard work?
But there's a great big world out there. You become a steel riveter, dear. If at the end of the day that machine takes you in its arms and says, honey, you're wonderful, stay with it.
Mom, you just don't make it come out right.
I make it come out as I see it. I had a little talk with Kate this morning.
Oh, no. About me?
In a way.
What did you say?
Well, we both said lots. But I did say that if she wants to go into the city, all right. But I don't want her giving you any ideas.
Mom, I've already got them. You just won't listen.
I have listened until I have elephant ears.
But you won't give at all.
Oh, I wish I could give. I wish I could give you a little common sense. You applied to a perfectly good college, and you made
in the middle of nowhere.
You didn't think so when you tried for it. Then it was heaven.
I've changed my mind.
I can study in the city. For the last time, Nancy, your father and I think you are too young to have a place of your own in the city, period.
But if Kate's there?
I'm not so sure Kate's going. Or if she is, whether she wants to have the responsibility of you.
What did you say to her?
This is my business, Nancy. But I did remind her we are one family.
Well, I'm going to go see her. I'm 18, Mom. I have a right to my own life.
Yep.
I just got in, Nancy. Oh, you look out of breath.
Well, your mom's done it.
Done what?
Persuaded you that I simply shouldn't go and live and study in the city?
No, she didn't persuade me of anything. I said my decision was my own.
You haven't changed your mind about that appointment?
Whatever I do, it has nothing to do with your problem, Nancy.
Oh, Kate, you can't. You absolutely can't. Mom just isn't with it. She's great, but she just doesn't know the city. She imagines all kinds of awful things that never happen. Kate, I'll just die if I don't get there next year.
Do you think it's fair to make me responsible for you?
But you're not. Nobody's responsible. I can take care of myself. I'll take courses in social work. I'd even live at the dorm again, but I don't want to. But if Mom knows that you're there...
I would still be responsible.
But you wouldn't be.
We'll talk about it, Nancy.
What's there to talk about? You want to get out of this town as much as I do, don't you?
Excuse me.
Okay, but Kate, be on my side.
Hello?
Kate?
Oh, Tony.
What's up?
Tony, have you set that appointment with Mr. Ross for me?
Yeah, I confirmed it this morning. Why?
I've got a problem, a family matter.
What's the trouble?
Well, I can't go into it all, but I need a little more time.
I see.
I have a young niece, and...
Well, does she want a job, too?
No, she doesn't. But she's got ideas about moving into town, and it's upsetting her parents. I don't want to be responsible.
Well, it's up to you, Kate. Shall I cancel your appointment with Ross?
Well, could it be postponed?
Kate, you seem to be ducking the decision. If family and Belhaven are what you want, then tell me. I thought you wanted to try something bigger.
Well, it's only a matter of timing. Nancy's young.
Jobs aren't easy to come by these days, Kate. If I cancel out with Ross, I'm not sure he'll set up another interview. Well? Kate?
I'm here.
Look, it's not worth worrying about. You're happy in Belhaven, so forget it. I'll cancel.
No, don't, Tony. I'll keep the appointment.
You're sure now?
I'll be on the noon train.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm your teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
I feel a sudden your indignation is as caustic as mine. That great oaf, Joseph Sedley, that cowardly poltroon has fled London and Becky Sharp. You see, the state I'm in when I fail to introduce myself. William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this, this painful novel. But upon me, honor, I confess and promise more cheerful events await you and Becky in the fullness of time. Now, however, let us observe what is happening in the gloomy house on Russell Square. In the drawing room are Amelia and Mr. Sedley. Becky, nowhere to be seen. Patted and soothed by her father, Emmy weeps.
Oh, my own brother. To do such a dreadful thing to my dearest friend.
No, no, no. Your own brother isn't worth the having. Has he not proved it, Emmy?
But I did so want Becky for my sister-in-law.
It would have pleased me to have her for daughter-in-law. But Joseph has put an end to that as well.
Papa, when that awful letter came from Joseph, Becky said not one word.
Nothing at all.
She went from the room and went upstairs, and when I followed, she said four words. No, five.
Yes? Yes, what are they?
It's the death warrant, Emmy. Oh, Papa.
That son of mine deserves to have a death warrant served upon him. Becky said no more.
She asked to be alone, and when I went away, I heard the key turn in the lock.
How long has the poor child been alone like that?
More than an hour. I went again and knocked, and Becky said, I'll come down soon. Should I go again?
I'll go myself in a moment.
Oh.
Now stop crying, there's a good girl.
I can't. I can't.
I have a mind to cut Ghost out of my will. Serve him jolly well right.
Oh.
Slinks out of London, flees to Scotland. Did he pause to bid farewell to his father, to his mother, to his sister? No. Nor did the great lout have the courage to face that pitiful girl crying her eyes out upstairs.
He wrote that terrible note to me, not even to Becky.
If I could ferret him out in Scotland, I'd give him the thrashing he deserved. Oh. I'd go there, I would, but he's off to India. Good riddance. Let him stay there and be trod on by an elephant.
Papa!
Chewed by a tiger.
Papa!
Shot by the natives.
Papa!
Gracious heavens, Mr. Sedley. What are you howling about? What will the servants think?
A pox on the servants. They can think what they can, please. I'm howling about your son, Mrs. Sedd. That's what I'm howling about. And what have you to say for your milksop son?
He's treated me dreadfully. Gone without even... I hardly can bear... How could he do this to his mama?
What about her?
Her?
Her upstairs. You don't give her a thought, do you, madam?
I gave her a thought. I did. And I thought it's all worked out for the best.
Mama!
What best? What best?
I said it before. I say it again.
Don't say it again. Do not say in my presence that Jost would have married beneath his station had he taken Miss Sharp for a wife. His station is as low as a snake's.
Mr. Sedley, your own son.
Your son. I disown him.
Papa, you can't mean that.
Can, do. And if you two weeping willows will excuse me, I shall take myself up the stairs and tell Miss Sharp my opinion of this matter and comfort that poor child as best I can.
Comfort, Betty. Ah, yes. One hopes there is comfort somewhere. How she looked forward to India herself. Now, it will never be.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray for application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Sorry, I haven't had this for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
While Sedley is mourned downstairs, what of Becky upstairs? Upon her bed, awash in tears? Has she drawn the curtains round that bed to hide from a world which has treated her so ill? Come, the door is locked, but we can enter, and she'll not know we're there. Why, what is this? Rebecca not in tears? Not prostrate on the bed? Seated she is at the vanity table, gazing at the pretty creature reflected therein, and talking to... hush. Listen.
Dear Joe, dear fat, ponty, puffy, tubby, cumbersome, cumbrous, enormous Joe's. Thank you. How good, how dear, how adorable of you to run away. To think I might have married you. Oh, how awful if I'd married you. To lie abed with a mountain. To eat a table with an elephant. What could I have been thinking of? How entertaining for a moment the horrible thought of wearing a hippopotamus. Oh, love, shall I confess what I was thinking of? Not of you, my gun forever, Joe. Of money. I've been a pauper so long, miserable so long, at everyone's mercy so long, I didn't see you. I saw shillings and pounds and guineas and sovereigns and half-crowns and crowns. But, oh, had I married you, all that gold and silver would tarnish, and there you'd be. I'd see you then. See too late, for I'd be Mrs. Joseph Sedley. Uh-oh. Have I got to look all drowned in tears?
Miss Sharp? Becky?
Mr. Sedley. Yes, I'm coming.
My poor child.
It's no use.
Kind words, useless. I pray not.
That wasn't my meaning, Mr. Sedd. I meant it's no use pretending with you. You saw straight through me before and would again.
I don't understand. What? pretend...
Come in. There's someone else here. Only you can know the truth.
Upon my word, I...
Wait.
You wait. Not a word. Let me look at you. Aha. So that's the way that Ghost has slunk off and left you, and bless me soul, you don't care a farthing.
Dearest Mr. Sedd, my almost father-in-law, how clever and wonderful you are.
Say it. I want to hear from your own pretty lips. You don't care a farthing.
I don't care a farthing. A shilling, a pound, a guinea, a sovereign, a crown.
What will he think?
I'll handle him, my dear.
Come in, dear Mrs. Sedley. It isn't locked. I heard laughing.
You heard a brave girl who has the courage to forget her sorrows and laughed at a small joke I made about a farthing. Eh, Rebecca?
I must find the strength to laugh, Mrs. Sedley. One cannot allow one's sorrows to trouble others.
Becky, you've accomplished a second miracle. Your bravery has rendered the lady speechless. Lost your tongue, have you, Mrs. Sedd?
No, sir, I have not. Look, you... Just a minute, a messenger came this minute with another note. No name on the offer, but he said... For Miss Sharp.
Good Gad. Ghost has changed his mind.
Well, ladies, you may guess until tomorrow at the contents of that mysterious note. And I, meanwhile, am your devoted William Makepeace Thackeray.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
These new Radio Playhouse programs return dramatic radio to daytime listening for the first time in many years. For 1 hour each day, we present serial dramas, a new and different alternative to the music news and talk shows. We hope you're enjoying our program and welcome the daily difference of drama. Won't you drop us a card and tell us how you feel about this new series? Write Author Studio, 345 Park Avenue, New York, New York, 10022, or your local station. Enjoy the difference of daily drama. The Author Studio is adapted for radio by Nancy Moore. Mr. Thackeray is portrayed by Earl Hammond. Becky Sharp by Dolores Sutton. Amelia Sedley by Laura Esterman. Mrs. Sedley by Nancy Cushman. Mr. Sedley by Guy Sorrell. Produced and directed by Frank Papp. And brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Dan Rolon, America's leading Rolon antiperspirant.
Well, there
There's no two ways about it. We are locked out of the house.
When we left for the party, I said, do you have the keys? And you said, yes.
I thought
yes,
you meant the car keys.
Well, don't you keep your house keys on the same ring as the car keys?
Yes, but I have the other set of car keys tonight, the spare set.
Well, why didn't you take your regular key ring?
I told you I had left it upstairs on the bureau when I changed for the party, and instead of running back upstairs, I just grabbed the spare set of car keys.
Anyhow,
I assumed you had your set of house keys.
No, I just took a small purse tonight. I want that big bunch of keys to take up so much room. Well, what'll we do?
I don't know. Every door is locked tight.
Try the basement door.
Bolted from the inside.
Oh, really?
Kitchen door is not only locked, but bolted from the inside. Every window is shut and locked.
No, I thought it was going to rain. Maybe we could break a window, crawl in.
No, not if we don't have to.
We're cutting a screen on the porch.
What good would that do? The porch door into the house is locked.
At least we could sleep on the porch. You could have a couch. I could put the cushions from the chairs on the floor.
No. Anyway, in the morning, we'd still be locked out.
Yeah. Morning, we can call Debbie at the Robinsons. I know she has her keys.
Let's call the Robinsons now. We can drive out and get the keys.
At 2 in the morning? We barely know the people. And where are we going to phone from? The village store's closed.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Locked out of your own house? But there must be some way to get in. You know, I've asked you repeatedly to hide some spare house keys in the garage someplace.
Well, why is that my responsibility? You can have extra keys made just as well as I can, and you can hide them just as well as I can, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to snap at
you. I'm sorry. We're both tired.
Big day tomorrow at the office.
Oh, really?
Hey, look, we know Evie and Fred well enough to wake them up and ask them.
No, they're not home. They're not home. Told you Fred started his vacation.
Oh, sure, that's right.
Suppose
that's
we could
right.
spend the night in the car. You could take the back seat. It's bigger. I'll curl up in front.
Now, forget it. Come on, let's go to a motel.
Motel? Well, it'd be cheaper to break one of the windows or the screen on the porch or something.
No, I don't think so. Last time we had one panel of the screening replaced, the labor charges alone were
$40. That's $42, I think.
Anyhow, you've got all the nuisance of getting something repaired and... No. Let's go to a motel. That Valley View Motel is only about 4 miles away.
We haven't any luggage.
Well, what do we need luggage for? Can't you sleep in your underwear one night?
Well, I just mean it's not that, you know.
Well, what then?
Well, you don't have luggage. You have to pay in advance, don't you?
Okay, it doesn't matter. You have to pay sometime or other. In any case, you drive up in a car. How would they know whether we have luggage or not? Well, what's the matter with you?
Well, we're kind of dressed up having been to a party.
So?
The desk clerk may think we're not married.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Who cares what the desk clerk thinks?
I do.
Oh, come on.
I do. Remember when we were first married and the airline lost our luggage and we stayed at a hotel and how the desk clerk kept giving us these funny little smiles?
Will you please get in the car? Forget the desk clerk. By this time, I'm sure we even look married.
Well, what does that mean?
Get in the car. And don't start explaining to the desk clerk.
Oh, I feel so much better if we had some luggage, I know that.
Well, let me see now. We're pretty filled up, but... Number 24 is available. Rather small.
Oh, that's all right. Anything.
We're sort of desperate. We're locked out.
Want to sign the register?
Oh, yeah, sure.
My husband and I got locked out of our house.
Hey, dear, the man doesn't care.
That'll be $24.
I said to my husband before we left for the party at the Henderson's,
Dear.
Will you be paying by cash or credit card?
Credit card, I guess. Oh, here.
Thank you. You'll just be with us the one night?
Yeah, just tonight.
Uh-huh. There you are, sir. Madam, number 24. Just pull around and back, and it's to the left. About 6 doors down.
I don't care what you say. The desk clerk looked at us in a very funny way.
Well, he's probably sleepy. It's 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Come here. Come here, look at this bathroom.
What?
Tub isn't very clean. Look at the sink.
What, are you going to start cleaning the motel room now?
No, but for $24, really? Well, we have clean towels anyway.
I think I'll take a shower. I'm hot and sticky.
Honestly, don't you wonder who decorates motel rooms? Look at this. They always have such zigzag patterns of wallpaper and draperies. I hope these curtains fall together. We're going to never sleep with that bright light right outside the window. Honey.
What?
There's a man outside taking down our license number. Here, come here.
Yeah, I heard you. Where?
Right there. Just walked around in back of the car.
Oh. Well, I think it's a state law or something. Motels have to get the license plate numbers. There's nothing to worry about. Now, look, I want to take my shower, and you better go to bed.
You can say all you like, there's something funny about this motel. The way the desk clerk looked at us. My woman's intuition.
Oh, nonsense. Go to bed. Understand you. Why did you put a quarter in the darn thing?
I wanted to see what a bed relaxer was. I never saw one before.
Well, let me look again. There must be some place to turn it off. I certainly can't sleep with the bed jumping up and down like that.
Said it runs 15 minutes here. 15 minutes.
Well, it's been a lot longer than that. Closer to 40.
I'm sorry.
Hey, fastened right into the wall. Directly.
Well, you were so long in the shower, I didn't have anything to read. The TV didn't work, and I saw this thing.
Well, I'll call the desk clerk. He's probably asleep. Oh, he's going to love us. Third time we've awakened him.
Well, I wanted to know why that man took down our license number.
Wasn't I right?
Yes.
You never think I know anything.
Well,
you...
yes,
sir. Hello? Yeah, hi. Baxter again. In 24, my wife put a quarter in this bed relaxer thing, and the motor won't turn off. The bed keeps jumping up. Okay, thank you. He's coming.
Me in my underwear.
You can stay in the bathroom while he's here.
Yeah.
Hey, look at the time. Nearly 3 a.m. Yeah, maybe you were right. We should have slept in the car. Not getting any sleep anyhow.
I'm sorry, dear. It's my
After this, tomorrow, in fact, we are definitely going to get an extra set of house keys and keep them in the garage.
Right, right.
Oh, there he is. All right, go ahead. Get in the bathroom. Close the door.
Yeah, all right. Go.
Hi. Sorry about this. My wife wondered what a bed relaxer was.
Oh, that's okay. I can turn it off in a second. Nobody uses them much anymore. Big thing when they were first installed, but like all gimmicks, the novelty wears off.
Yeah, but, well, we don't stay in motels much, and I guess he thought...
There you are. It's off.
I'm sorry. Kind of kept you awake, I guess.
I wasn't sleeping. Fact is, I guess I can tell you now. We were told to be on the lookout for a couple, and you sort of fitted the description. But I have to apologize. They think they picked up the right ones in Plainfield just an hour ago.
What? You mean a couple? Wanted for what?
No, I don't know. Bank robbery, I think. They don't tell you much. Well, enjoy your stay with us.
Good night. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
I did. I certainly did. We look like bank robbers.
He said we fitted the description.
What do you suppose that meant?
I don't know.
It's the silliest thing I ever heard. Well, I suppose we'd be glad they didn't pick us up by mistake.
Oh, I think we could prove we never robbed a bank, for Pete's sake.
Oh, we read in the paper all the time about people picked up, booked on suspicion, going to jail, rotting in prison, as they say, spending years trying to prove they're innocent.
Oh, come on, listen, they take one look at us and know we weren't.
The desk clerk took one look at us and thought we were.
Well,
yes, he did.
I think it's kind of funny. Imagine the two of us even trying to rob a bank. We can't even get into our own house without the keys. Don't you think that's funny?
Yeah, I just thought of something else, though.
What?
Listen, you go out to the car. Get into the glove compartment.
Well, why? Why? In my shorts?
That's right. Put your slacks on to get out there. Reach in the glove compartment. I've got Buddy Walker's toy water pistol in there.
You?
I took it from him yesterday when he was squirting water all over me. Now go out and get it.
Oh, please.
Under the circumstances, do you think we should even have a toy water pistol in the car?
Okay.
All right,
I've got to get my pants on.
Here, now, take my purse. Slide the water gun into this. And be on the lookout so nobody sees you. I'll watch out the window.
I'll tell you something. Never again will we be locked out of our house.
I know.
I'm getting extra keys made tomorrow.
The gun is in the glove compartment, and it's full of water, so be careful you don't squirt it all over you. That's all you need.
3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sneaking out to conceal a water pistol so nobody will think I robbed a bank. I tell you,
Go now. The coast is clear.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I can't believe you made it through customs in less than 30 minutes.
Please don't mention anything to do with time, Daddy.
Why, because you came from Switzerland?
Yes, my internal clock is still on Swiss time. Oh, Robert, it's so good to be home. Jet lag or no jet lag?
You know, I wonder why they call it lag both ways when actually time is speeded up when you go back to Europe.
Well, darling, while you're pondering that, kiss me again.
I knew I'd been missing something.
I think I'll go send a cable. Oh, why don't you wait until we get home?
Since you're here now in Chicago, who are you going to cable?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It can wait till we get to River Run. Uh-oh, I think we'd better get out to the car. I see some airport police officers looking a little unhappy out there. We're blocking traffic.
Wait until you see the garden at River Run, Caroline.
I've thought of it often.
You missed the roses, and they missed you.
Oh, darling.
Tell us about Emily, Dad. Jason wasn't very informative on the phone.
Well, I don't think I know much more. Probably a good deal less, since he's married to Emily and is a doctor.
Well, what kind of tests is she being given at the hospital?
Well, the usual x-rays, and I think she's getting something called an angiogram.
Oh, well, maybe we should stop off there on the way to River Run.
Mother!
What's the matter?
Well, if she knew we'd rushed right to the hospital from the airport. Well, I wouldn't blame Emily if she thought the absolute worst.
You're right. You produce a very smart daughter, Robert.
Oh, it was your idea first, Caroline, not to alarm Emily, and to use Daddy here as our cover story.
Well, I'm glad something brought you both home to me. I'm sorry it has to be Emily's going into the hospital.
You have no idea what you interrupted.
You have a captive audience.
Daddy, do you think River Run would make a suitable setting for, say, a September or October wedding?
What? Please don't break news like that to me when I'm driving.
It's not quite news yet, Robert.
What? Just who is it?
Kurt. Curtis Rogers.
At least he sounds American.
Well, that's a little hard to tell. He's been out of the country for such a long time. I wonder why.
Well, he's soon going to be back.
Oh.
And I have invited him to visit us, just so he can have every opportunity.
For what?
To propose marriage, that's what.
Well, you certainly sound sure of yourself. From your tone, I gather you intend to accept with alcrity.
Oh, like a shot.
As well, considering the length of time you've known him, it sounds more like a shot in the dark.
But you're right on target, Robert.
Oh, boy, there's nothing quite so difficult to bear as other people's happiness.
No, you're getting it all wrong, honey. We want the best for you.
Oh, isn't that Emily's hospital over there?
Just temporarily, I hope.
Well, I don't like driving right on past it. She probably would love to see someone.
Pardon me, but could you tell me which room Miss Carter's in?
Well, let me see. 208, right over there.
Thanks. She's all right, isn't she?
Well, are you related to her?
Yes, her son.
Oh, well, she's fine. She's fine. And don't look so worried when you go in.
Thanks a lot.
Bobby! Oh, come here.
Hey, you're smashing the flowers, Mom.
Bobby, dear. Let's get them out of the way, then. Right into a water pitcher. Oh, they're lovely.
You really should thank Jennifer. She spent almost an hour arranging them.
Oh,
that was sneaky of you, getting out of the house without telling us, kids.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I thought it would be easier.
Well, how's everything?
By everything, I guess you mean, have they found out what's wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I suspect they don't know a great deal more than when they started. But then they're just getting started.
Well, I guess that's good.
I don't know. Who tells you anything around here? I want you to know I have no special privileges just because your father is chief of the medical service and Aunt Angela is head nurse.
Well, why not?
Oh, I tell myself it's because everyone is bending over backward, being super correct, bending over backward to go by the book.
I can see them all reading upside down.
Do you really think you want to be a doctor when you grow up, honey?
What do you mean, when? I'm 17. Almost old enough to vote.
Oh, yes, I keep forgetting. Time flies, to coin a phrase.
Next year I'll be in college. Here today and gone tomorrow. That's another one.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytrile. I compared labels. Daytrile has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytrile can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytrile. New from Bristol-Myers.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
I knew I'd find you here, Caroline.
All the grandeur of the Alps can't compare with our little homemade waterfall. Oh, Robert, it's so good to be back at River Run.
I don't think Lynn feels quite as happy as you do about being home.
Yes, she already misses her young man, but being unhappy out of loneliness is better than being unhappily married, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I've never been unhappily married.
You'll find a way to make her happy. You have a gift for it.
I wouldn't say that.
Now, Robert, I find you guilty of false modesty. You know, you've made me very happy.
Making you happy has been easy.
I guess we've both been very lucky. I think we were both very fortunate in our first marriages, and... Well, I know. I'm very happy with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Lynn will be luckier in her second marriage.
Yeah, we can hope.
Have you talked to Anne yet?
No, I called her, but she's not home.
How serious is Lynn about this fellow, Kurt?
Very serious.
And what did you think of him?
Charming. And I think very taken by Lynn.
What would you think of him as a son-in-law?
Well, it's hard to think of Kurt as married.
Well, if you can't visualize Kurt as married, he doesn't seem like a very good idea for Lynn's second matrimonial venture.
It's hard to figure out if he's an improvement over William Sloan or not.
You suppose Anne could help, maybe talk to Lynn?
You forget they're stepsisters, and there's a fine line they don't step over.
I wonder if the marriage would have worked if they'd had any children.
I doubt it very much.
Well, Lynn certainly wanted them.
So many women do when their husbands have disappointed them.
It's an awful burden to put on such tiny shoulders.
You're so right. But the parents never seem to look at it that way.
Well, I can't see William as a father.
I think that's one area in which he was in agreement with you. You know, Robert, I just remembered that Lynn first noticed Kurt when he was teaching a children's beginning class.
Oh, skiing?
Yes, yes. I think that's all he knows. And she was so impressed with the way he handled them. You know, it's funny. I had forgotten all about that until you brought up the subject of children.
Oh, so you think Lynn's more interested in finding a prospective father for her future children than in...
Yes, than in loving a man for himself.
Ah, if there were only some way of passing our wisdom on to our children.
We try hard enough, don't we?
Well, every generation reserves to itself the right to make its own mistakes.
But to make the same one over and over?
You think that's what Lynn might be doing?
Well, Kurt seems different from William.
Well, skiing and the legal profession are fairly far apart.
But there's something about him, I don't know. Well, you see for yourself. I'm sure he's Chicago bound.
I think once he gets here, my opinion will be, as they say in law,
moot. Perhaps. And while we're waiting, maybe you'd better give me a hand with whipping this garden into shape for a fall wedding.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what FinalNet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. FinalNet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of FinalNet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. FinalNet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less? To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.